Greetings, everyone, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank God that we can consider the life of Christ once again. And the topic for our consideration this evening is seeking Christ. Seeking Christ. Now, what will compel a person to seek something? And if you would think about it, right, what will compel a person to seek something? It would be either because, number one, he needs it, right? Or number two, he wants it. Right? So if you look at the people of this world, what compels them to seek after fame and fortune? Right? Is it because they want it or because they need it? Well, you can say a little bit of both. Right? For those perhaps who are in poverty, they feel that they need more. Right? And then so they pursue after riches. For those who are living comfortable lives, they feel like they want more, and so they continue pursuing after more money. Right, so this is what compels a person to seek something, either because they need something or because they want something. And the intensity of seeking is determined by the intensity of the desire or the need. Right, so if a person really sees money as the way out, if the person really understands that without money, he will die, right? The intensity of in which he will seek after money, right, will be very great, right? Because he knows the consequence of not getting it will be death. He knows that the consequence of not obtaining what he's seeking after will be the end of his life, right? So the intensity by which a person seeks after something is very much determined by his desire. If he desires strongly after something, he will seek after it with great intensity and fervency. But today, we are not just talking about seeking after material things or even seeking after grades or money. And what we are talking about this evening is the seeking of Christ. It's not just something or seeking something to satisfy our physical needs or even our physical wants. It is not just seeking a temporary fix, seeking a solution to our problems. Right? But it is not even just about seeking salvation as the solution to our sin problem. Right? Yes, that entails seeking Christ. But when we speak about seeking Christ, we are talking about seeking the person of Christ. Yes, when we seek the person of Christ, yes, in it we are seeking salvation, we are seeking the forgiveness of sins, that is all correct. Right? But sometimes we lose sight of the fact that Christ is a person. Right? That when we seek Christ, it's not just to seek what Christ can benefit us, or what are the solutions that he can give to our problems, but it is to seek the person of Christ. It is to seek the person who can save. It is to seek a relationship with the person. Right? It is to seek God himself. Right? That is the difference when we talk about seeking the things of the world, seeking things that are material and physical, versus seeking Christ. Right? So when we want to consider this topic of seeking Christ, right, have that in mind, that we are seeking the person of Christ. And so that is why when we go through the life of Christ, right, so all the past many months, right, years that we have considered the life of Christ, we are actually learning more about our Savior. We are actually learning more about this person of Christ. And in it, as we learn more of who he is, we are seeking him. We are seeking to know him. We are seeking to build that relationship with Christ. Of course, first and foremost, in salvation. Without salvation, without Christ first saving us from our sins, we can have no relationship with Christ. And that is what we understand about seeking Christ. For the unbeliever, right, seeking Christ entails seeking Christ for salvation, right, seeking Christ for the forgiveness of sins. But what about for the believer? For the believer, well, we cannot just say that I once upon a time in my life sought after Christ and that is it. Right, but if we truly have sought after Christ, if we have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and say that we have a relationship with God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, then that relationship continues. Right? That relationship continues. In other words, we will continue to seek after Christ. And so the seeking of Christ Right? Don't just think that it is only for unbelievers. And of course, I do not want to assume that everyone here has truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must all search our hearts, and we must all make sure that we have sought after Christ in salvation. Right? But it does not just stop there. The seeking of Christ continues even after salvation. It is a habit of seeking Christ. It is a life of seeking Christ. And so that is what we want to study this evening. How can we ensure that we seek after Christ? Well, in order for us to seek after Christ, we must first acknowledge our need for Christ. Right, so as we have said earlier, how do you know or what determines whether a person will seek after something is whether he has a need for that something. And this is what we see in the narrative that is placed before us this evening. Right, because the Bible here in verse 40 tells us of a leper. Right, a leper who came to the Lord Jesus Christ to seek him. And we begin in verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so we see here an individual that is introduced to us. This individual we are not given the name of this individual, right? But he's simply described as a leper. Right? And in fact, if you turn to, you put a finger at Mark 1, and you just turn to the parallel passage in Luke chapter 5. Right? Luke chapter 5, verse 12. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible here says, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Right, so we see here the man is described not only just as a leper, right, but he's described as someone who is full of leprosy. Right, the leprosy that has invaded every single part of his body. Right, he's full of leprosy. And what is this leprosy? Now, we know that the word leprosy is found throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. Right? The Bible speaks of this disease of leprosy. And leprosy, when we look into scriptures, it is a kind of a skin disease. Right? And that is why in the book of Leviticus, right, the Bible gives certain instructions to the priests, right, to identify, right, based on the color of the skin, based on the scab on the skin, right, whether a person still has leprosy or not. Right, so it's a skin condition. Right, but this word leprosy also is used to describe other things as well. Right, if you look into the book of Leviticus, right, a house can have leprosy. Right, and what is the leprosy of the house? Well, it is mold. Right, mold growing in the house. Right, and so there are certain stipulations that the Lord has given to clear out that leprosy in the house. Right, fabrics can have leprosy as well. Right, so that is also probably a kind of mildew or mold that's growing on the fabrics, right? That also the Lord has stipulated certain ways to get rid of that leprosy. Right? So leprosy is really a catch-all term, right? To describe whether for in houses or in fabrics, right? Mold growing or even on the skin of people, right? A type of disease. Right? And the leprosy that we know in today's medical term, right? What is medically called leprosy, right, is a very specific condition, right, that probably falls under this bigger umbrella of the biblical word leprosy. Right? So the biblical word leprosy can include many different diseases that we understand today. Right? But there is this one particular disease that we understand as leprosy, right, medically speaking, today. Right? This disease is actually caused by a certain kind of a bacteria. Right? And we want to understand, like, what is the extent of this disease, right? And what this disease causes a person to experience, right? So that we can better understand, right, perhaps what this narrative, right, is depicting for us, right, about this leper. Right? So again, we do not know exactly what kind of disease this leper had, right? But it could have been this, right? Leprosy, an infectious bacteria, a bacteria that affects not just the skin, but actually affects the nervous system, right? And infecting the nervous system, what happens is that it causes the nerve endings to be destroyed, Right? So in other words, they can no longer feel, right? They can no longer also feel pain, right? And it also causes the body parts to start to disfigure, right? So you see sometimes the disfigurement of the hands as indication of leprosy, or the disfigurement of the nose or the face as an indication of leprosy. Right, so this is what a modern-day understanding of leprosy is. Right? A condition that is very gruesome, right? A condition that also spreads, right? Spreads by droplets and by contact. Right? And so it is a disease. Right? It is, you can say, a very debilitating disease. Right? It affects all your whole body. Right? So much so that, can you imagine if you cannot touch? Right? Can you imagine if you cannot feel pain? You end up hurting yourself, right? Pain is actually a gift from the Lord, right? Because with pain, you know what is dangerous, what needs to be avoided, right? But can you imagine a person who has leprosy, who cannot feel pain, right? And then now he touches something that is hot. He doesn't know that it is hot, right? And what will happen? He'll be burned, right? So that was the life of a leper, right? But even more so, in the time of Jesus' time, right? In the time of the Jews, leprosy was considered something that was unclean. Right? And when the Bible talks about leprosy as being unclean, it is not just that, oh, it is a disease. Right? Like, if someone has a flu, then, oh, you're unclean. Right? No, it is not just something that is, you can say, unhygienic. Right? But when the Bible says that something is unclean, it means that it is displeasing in the sight of the Lord. Right? It means that it is something that now, and the Bible tells us that in the case of leprosy in the Old Testament, it is a result of God's judgment upon sin. And so for the leper, one who is now has the disease of leprosy, he is under the judgment of God, right, because of his sin. He is unclean. And what do lepers, or what could lepers not do? Well, for the leper, he was to be segregated from society, right? In Jewish society, the Bible says that the leper is supposed to be outside of the camp, right? He's not supposed to be mingling with God's people, right? Because not just that he will spread his leprosy, right? Not just as some disease, right? But because he will cause others to be unclean, right? You're not supposed to touch a leper, right? When you touch a leper becomes, or you become unclean, right? By association. And furthermore, the Bible also tells us that the lepers are supposed to live in isolation, right? So they are apart from society, they are living alone, right? So being a leper is not just it's not just that you'll be shunned by society, right? But you will be living a very lonely life. And if you die a leper, you will die alone. Your family members will not be there, right, to see you off. Your family members won't even be there to bury you because you're unclean. Right, that was the life of a leper in Jewish society. Lonely, shunned by others, unclean, and of course, sinful. Right, and so this was the man who appeared before Christ. He was a leper. And you see, this leper, he understood his condition. Right, because later on we will see, or as what we have read already, that he now came to Christ. And why did he come to Christ? Well, you see in his words that he said, right? He says in verse 40, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What is the assumption? Right? If he says that Christ can make him clean, the assumption is that he understands that he is unclean. Right? And so this man, yes, he was a leper. Yes, he was going through many difficulties in life, maybe even very painful, right? Painful not just in the physical terms. Let's say he has true leprosy, right? He maybe cannot feel any physical pain, but the emotional pain, right? The distress, the isolation that he had. Yet, he understood that above all, it was because he was unclean, right? Because he has sinned against the Lord. And this was what the leper understood of himself, acknowledged of himself, that he was a sinner. Yes, he was a leper, but ultimately he was unclean. Right? And because he was unclean, he needed to find a way to make him clean.
Right, and you see here that, you know, for the leper, he did not try to, he was not delusional. Right, he wasn't just someone who, you know, tries to convince himself that he doesn't have leprosy. Right, you would say that is foolish. Right, but, you know, it's not as uncommon as you think. You know, in researching for about this condition of leprosy, right, I came across this website, right, on the Leprosy Ministry Institute or something like that. Or Leprosy Missions Institute, right? It's supposed to be started by a missionary organization, right? So it sounds very promising. And so they briefly describe what leprosy is like in the Bible. And then right at the end, right, they put out a disclaimer, right? And they said that, you know, there are many people affected by leprosy, and to respect these people affected by leprosy, we would appeal to all those Bible publishers that in your Bibles, don't call these people lepers, right? Just call them people affected by leprosy. And then they also say that, you know, for those people who are reading Bible versions that says leper, right? Don't read leper. Say, there came a person affected by leprosy to him. Do you see a problem with that? Right, in the world, in the guise of, you know, kindness, right? You say, you know, you don't want to hurt their feelings. Don't call them a leper. What do you call a person who is affected by leprosy? Right, a leper. Right? What do you call a person who is affected by sin? Right? A sinner. Right? So this leper, right, he wasn't delusional. He wasn't saying that, you know, I'm not a leper. I'm just a person affected by leprosy. Right? But he understood that he was unclean. Right, he did not try to, you know, sugarcoat the fact, right, that I'm just, you know, something has happened to me, right, but actually I'm not like that. Right, and that would cause him not to see his true need, right, and that would cause him not to seek after Christ. Right, but even as we think about these things, you know, sometimes while we may, you know, laugh at, you know, these suggestions, right, to say that, you know, just say that it's a person affected by leprosy. And sometimes that's how we view ourselves. And sometimes when sin is pointed out to us, we say that, you know, I'm not a sinner, but I'm just affected by sin. And we try to justify, we try to rationalize in our minds. We say that we are brought up in this way. We say that, you know, certain situations have happened and that is why I have responded in this way, or that is why I have chosen to do this or that. But actually, it's exactly that. We are just calling ourselves a person affected by leprosy. But in order for us to truly seek after Christ, we must acknowledge our need. We must truly, from the heart, acknowledge that we are sinners before the Lord. No sugarcoating, no justification. But as it is, what the Lord calls sin, we say it is sin. Right? Not just affected by sin. Right? But for us, do we see ourselves as a leper? Now, you know, just now we sang the hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And then we sang how Thou art righteousness, right? Thou art just, holy and just is Thy name. And I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. Now, when you sang all those words, do you really believe it? Do you really believe it when you sang it? Or is it just something that we just say? That you are proclaiming to the world, I'm unrighteous, I'm false, I'm full of sin. Because until we get to that point, we will not seek after Christ. Until we acknowledge that that is who we are, that is who we truly are. Until we break down our high self-image that we have in our heads of ourselves, we will not seek after Christ. And until we hold on, until we let go of the pride that we are holding on to, we will not seek after Christ. Right, so for the leper, he had understood truly who he was, that he was unclean, and because he understood who he was, he now took that step to seek after Christ. Right, so that is what we must understand. We must understand our own condition. And having understood his condition, now you see how he sought after Christ. Right, because now comparing both what we find in Luke chapter 5 and also in Mark chapter 1, right, we see a few things that this man did. Right, so in Luke chapter 5 verse 12, The Bible here tells us that he was a man full of leprosy who seen Jesus. Okay, so he was in a certain city, and then now he saw Jesus above. Right, and when he saw Jesus, what did he do? Right, Mark chapter 1 tells us that he came to him. Right, there came a leper unto him. So he saw Jesus, he came to him, he knelt down, right, in Mark chapter 1 verse 40, kneeling down. Luke chapter 5 says that he now fell on his face, right, and he now besought Christ. Right, beseech in verse 40 of Mark chapter 1, and then also Luke chapter 5 verse 12 tells us that he besought him. Okay, so this was what he did. Right, he saw Jesus, he came to Jesus, he now knelt down before him, fell on his face, right, and that is an act of worship. Right, it was an act of, yes, submission, but also of worship. And he besought him, he begged Christ, he entreated Christ. But what was this leper seeking? Right, if you were to think, right, if let's say you don't read down the line, right, read down the rest of the verses, and you just think about the verse itself, right? There was a leper, and then now he came to ask Jesus, "Canst thou make me clean?" Right? You would think that he's asking for healing. Right? But actually, what you find here is that for this leper, he was not just seeking a cure. Right? He was not just seeking to be freed from his leprosy. Right? Because look at what he said very carefully. Right? The Bible here tells us, "If thou will, thou canst make me clean." Right, so we see here, and also in Luke chapter 5, right, that in Luke chapter 5 verse 12, right, and we see in Luke chapter 5 verse 12 what he said, right, an additional thing that he said that is not recorded for us in Mark chapter 1. It says here, "Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean." Right, so we want to break down what he has said here to, in order to understand what exactly he was seeking. Was he seeking the cure, or was he seeking Christ? Right, you see here first that he called the Lord Jesus Christ Lord. Right, and we have mentioned this a few times in our study of the life of Christ, when the Bible uses the word Lord, right, especially in reference to Christ, right, it's not just some master. Right, yes, it implies or it includes in its meaning a master-slave relationship. Right? But when the word Lord is used, it describes how the person has acknowledged the deity of Christ. Right? In other words, this leper saw Christ as God. He acknowledged Jesus as God. Right? Not just a mere man, right? But not just one sent by God as a prophet, but as God himself. Right? That is why he worshipped him. Right? He fell on his face. And besides calling him Lord, look at what he said. Right? He said, "If thou wilt." Right? The word wilt here describes the intent, the purpose, or the choice of a person. Right? So it describes, in other words, the heart of the person. Right? What he desires, what he wants to do, what he chooses to do. And when the leper came to Christ, and when he now besought Christ, he said here very carefully and very specifically that it is only if the Lord wills. In other words, everything he desired, what was he seeking? He was seeking in accordance to the will of God. Right, so above all, right, above what we will see later on about how he wanted to be clean, right, and we will talk more about that later. Right, but beyond that, whatever he was seeking was fully submitted to the will of God. In other words, it was not up to him to be healed. He understood that. He knew that he had no right to be healed. Right, just because he's coming to Jesus, then therefore he must be healed. No, he understood that that does not need to be the case. He knew that he can only be healed if God will. And he submitted himself to the Lord's will. Furthermore, not only did he submit to God's will, he also submitted to the power of God. Because here, he says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Right? And the word "canst" there is the word where we get the English word for dynamite. Right? In other words, it refers to power. If you will, you have the power to make me clean. In other words, this man had no doubt in his mind. He knew of certainty that if the Lord desires to heal, he has the ability to heal. It's not because he doesn't have the ability to heal and therefore he doesn't heal. Right? But if he chooses not to heal, it's not because he cannot heal, but it's simply because of his choice. And the converse is also true. If he chooses to heal him, he can indeed, he has that power to heal him. And this man trusted the Lord. He trusted that the Lord had the power to heal if he so chose to. And so then we see here, what the man was seeking was not so much the healing. Yes, he describes here, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Right, but note also what he was requesting. He did not say, if thou wilt, thou canst remove my leprosy. He doesn't say, if thou wilt, thou canst remove this pain that I'm experiencing, this suffering that I'm going through. Right, all would be true. But he says very specifically, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Right, and the opposite of clean is unclean. Right, so he understood that his condition was there because of a higher reason. Right? It's not just because of the pain or the suffering or the disease, but it was there because he was unclean. Right? And he needed to be right with God. Right? A person who is unclean is not right with the Lord, and he needed to be made right with God. And so that was what this man was seeking. He was seeking Christ, Lord, Master. He was seeking to do the will of the Lord, right? For the Lord's will to be done in his life, if thou wilt. He sought the Lord, trusting in his power, thou canst. And ultimately, what he was seeking was that he would be right with the Lord. Thou canst make me clean. And so how can we apply this to our lives? Well, until we understand our need, we will not seek after Christ. If we continue to think that we are not so bad, or that we can, you know, even go through the day without the Lord, then we will not seek after Christ. And, you know, sometimes we talk about doing our daily quiet time in the morning. You know, and sometimes we struggle. Right? And yes, struggle is real. Right? Yes, we will struggle with that. Right? But sometimes it is the root of the struggle is because we think that we do not need the Lord. We think that we can get through the day without the Lord. We think that we have the power. We think that we don't have the need. And that's why we don't seek after the Lord. But if we truly understood who we are, how weak we are, how vulnerable we are to the world and to sin, to Satan and his devices, then very naturally, we will seek after Christ. We will want to seek after him, we will want to hear from him, we will want to draw strength from him, we will want to pray. Right? And that is our failure, oftentimes. That we think that we are okay, we think that we are doing well, right? Or even worse, the reasons why we do not repent of sin, right? The reasons why we still hold on to sin is because we think that we are not so bad. We think that we are still okay. We think that the Lord still is pleased with us when very clearly we know in our heart of hearts that the Lord is not pleased with us because of sin. And if a person is sick, but he thinks that he is not sick, he will not seek after the physician. For this man, he knew he was sick, spiritually even. He sought after the physician who could heal him, and well, is Christ willing to heal? Well, we will see that from learning who Christ is, the person of Christ, we will be comforted to know that Christ is willing to heal. And of course, when we talk about healing, we're not just talking about physical healing, right? And this is what we have already discussed the last time. But yes, in our salvation, physical healing is also entailed in, not right now, right, but in the glorification, right, in the future. But when we talk about our spiritual healing, right, the Lord is also ever willing to heal. And so in verse 41, the Bible continues. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And so we see here the second thing that we need to understand, right? First, we must acknowledge our need for Christ. Second, we must know the cure in Christ. Right, so we must first know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Right? Know who we are seeking. Right? Because in order for us to seek Christ, yes, we must know our need, right? But we must also know what we are seeking. Okay? And here the Bible tells us who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The first thing that we see about Christ in verse 41 is that he was moved with compassion. Right? And this phrase, moved with compassion, is actually one word in the original. And it is actually where we get the English word for the spleen. So the spleen is an organ in your body, right, in your bowels, right, and that is why sometimes it is this is translated as bowels. Okay, so when the Bible here says that Jesus was moved with compassion, right, he was moved within his bowels, right, and of course we must not think of bowels in our context. Right? When we talk about bowels in our context, it has no figurative meaning. Right? But in the Jewish mind, right, the word bowels, to them, is the seat of their affection. Right? So we will think of the heart as the seat of our affections. Right? Right? But for the Jews, right, just as you know, we talk about the mind, right, or the brain, the head. Right? We talked about this before. Right? For the Jewish mind, right, the place where is the seat of thought is not the brain, right, but it is the heart. Okay? For us, it is the brain, right? Then the seat of your emotions is the heart. Right? But for the Jews, the seat of the thought is also the heart. Right? And the seat of the emotions, well, is in the bowels. Okay, so theirs is slightly lower, okay, the bowels. Okay, but nevertheless, right, it is still, it entails, what is entailed is the same meaning, right? Meaning that for Christ, when he was moved with compassion, his heart yearned for this man. Right? He had compassion and pity on this man. Right? And that is what it means. He had kindness, benevolence, compassion for this leper. He saw his condition, he understood his need, and then he had love and pity on the leper. And of course, we know that for the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have perfectly understood his condition. He would have perfectly understood the extent of the sufferings that this man had gone through, right, because of his leprosy. And knowing that the Lord, he was not just aloof, he was not just apathetic, right, meaning that he had no emotions, no feelings towards this man, right, just doesn't matter to me. But no, he had compassion for this man. And what was the extent of his compassion? We see here now that the Bible tells us that he put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, when we read this, right, he put forth his hand and touched him. Right, we may think not much about it. Right, but again, for the Jew, to see, and of course after to read, of the account of how the Lord Jesus Christ puts forth his hand to touch a leper is a very significant thing. Right? Because a leper is unclean. And all those who touch a leper will also risk being unclean. Right? And so in the Jewish mind, no one in their right mind would want to touch a leper. Right, no matter how compassionate they may feel towards the leper, no matter how much love they may have towards this leper, maybe who is a family member, they will not touch the leper because it will make them unclean. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, his compassion far reached over this uncleanness and he reached out and touched this leper. And of course we know that when Jesus did so, was Jesus unclean? Right? No. Right? When Jesus reached out and touched the leper, yes, even though the Mosaic law says that all those who touch a leper, you will become unclean. Right? But what is the difference? For the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the source of all cleanliness or cleanness. And for this leper, who is unclean, to now touch the source of cleanness. It is not the unclean that makes the clean unclean, right? But it is the clean that now makes the unclean clean. Right? And that is what we also understand, right? Maybe just by way of a very poor illustration. Right? You can think of it as a pool of water. Right? And when you have a pool of water, right, and you have maybe some food, right, maybe a fruit, right, that now has dropped into the mud, right, dropped into a very dirty area, and then now you take that dirty fruit and now you wash it in the pool of water. Right, the pool of water originally was clean, right, but when you wash that dirty food in the water, the pool now becomes dirty as well, right? Because that which is dirty makes that which is clean dirty. But now, what if you take that same dirty fruit and now you wash it at the spring, right? Where the source of the water is coming from. Where there is running, flowing, ever-flowing clean water coming from. Right? What happens is that the food becomes clean. Right? Does the fruit dirty the source? No, because the source is always producing cleanness. Right, and that is like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of cleanness. And that is why when this man touched Jesus, right, it was not that he made Jesus unclean, but the opposite was true. Jesus made him clean. And that is also backed up by what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. He says, I will be thou clean. And that shows us the heart of Christ. Right? Not just his compassion, not just his love. And his love for us is not just afar off, but his love for us now comes near to us and touches us in our uncleanness. And now he reveals to us his heart's desire. He says, I will be thou clean. And this is Christ's heart towards our salvation, towards our forgiveness. Right? And that is who the Lord is, right? That is who your Savior is. And that is a most comforting thought. Now, you know, many so-called Christian groups get this wrong about Christ. The Roman Catholics, for example. Do you know how they see Christ? They see Christ as someone who is very unapproachable, someone who is afar off, someone who is angry and wrathful at them, someone who is even tyrannical. And that is why they say that they need to approach Christ through Mary. Right? You know, I was once speaking to a Roman Catholic man, right, doing evangelism, and he says that, you know, sometimes when you ask Christ for something, he will say no. Right? So you must ask Mary, and maybe Mary, being his mother, you know, tell Christ to, you know, please go and do this, then okay, Jesus will obey his mother Mary. Right? And they see Jesus as someone who is very unapproachable, someone who they cannot approach, and therefore they need a mediator, right? Go through Mary. Right? But is that who the Lord Jesus Christ is? What we find in Scripture revealed to us about Christ is a Christ who is loving, right? A Christ who is full of compassion, ever ready to forgive. Yes, he is a just God. Yes, he is a holy God. Right? But even in the midst of his justice and holiness, he exercises compassion and love. And that is the most comforting thought. You know, as I shared also last Lord's Day, right, during the adult Sunday school, right, for those who were there, right, there was a time in my life that I really struggled with the assurance of my salvation. And why did I struggle with my assurance of my salvation? Well, it's partly because of how I saw Christ. I saw the sinfulness of my sins. And I saw Christ as someone who, you know, if he will, he can make me clean, but I don't know whether he is willing, and I don't think he is. And therefore, there was no assurance. Right? It was always in my mind that, will I be good enough for the Lord to forgive me? Right? Or will I repent enough, or will I turn to him enough, so that he will now be pleased to save me? But yes, repentance is important. We must turn away from sin. Our entire Christian life is a life of repentance. But what really gave me that assurance were passages like this, hymns like we sang just now, that the Lord is willing if we but turn to Him. Right? And if we turn to Him, we can have the confidence that the Lord will receive. Right? All who come to Christ, Christ will cast out, is it? No, He will in no wise cast out. All who comes to Him, He receives. Right? And here, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, and the Lord says that, I will. And that is who our Christ is. That if we turn to Him, He is ever gracious and merciful to forgive us of our sins. And that is the Lord, the Christ, the loving, compassionate Savior that we have. Yes, we must turn from sin. Yes, we must seek Him. But what causes us to be saved, or what causes Christ to exercise compassion upon us, is not our turning to Him. It is not anything in and of ourselves that we do. Right? We cannot earn our way to salvation. Right? But it is what the Lord is kind and willing to show to us. And that is who our Christ is. When we know who Christ is, we can have this assurance. Right? And of course, having experienced that love is not to be spurned. Right? That love is not to be despised and trodden upon. Right? It's not a love to therefore say that, okay, Christ will love me, therefore I can do whatever I want. And then we have not yet experienced the love of Christ. But Christ here says, when we come to Him, and we seek Him, and we turn to Him, and we are with contrite and broken hearts, come before Him, and plead with the Lord. Lord, if Thou wilt, I know You have the power to make me clean. And the Lord will say to you, I will be thou clean. He is a loving God. He is not unjust. But He has demonstrated His justice and His love towards us by dying for us. And that is our Savior. That is our God. And the Bible tells us that when Christ said to this man, I will, and when He said, be thou clean, in verse 42, and as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Right? His healing was now immediate. The leprosy departed, and now he was cleansed. He was clean. Jesus had the power to heal. And so we must understand these things about Christ, that Christ has the power, just as He has the power to remove this disease of leprosy and to cleanse this man. Right? Remember, this cleansing is not just a physical cleansing, a cleansing from disease, but a spiritual cleansing. The Lord has the power to cleanse from sin. He has the desire to remove our sins. The question is whether we will come to Him in repentance and brokenness and contrition or not. If we choose to live our lives the way that we want without Christ, then know that, yes, we will not be cleansed, we will not be clean. But if we acknowledge our uncleanness and now come to Christ to be cleansed, He says, I will be thou clean. And we will be clean. And so having understood our condition, knowing the cure, now our seeking does not just stop there. Because we must now obey Christ. And that is the third thing that we see from the passage here. That as we seek Christ, we know our need. As we seek Christ, we know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But having known the Lord Jesus Christ and having sought Him, having come to Him and asked Him to help us, to forgive us of our sins and to continue to help us in our daily lives, in our walk with Him, it must accompany obedience. And that is what we see from verses 43 to 45. We must obey the word of Christ. Verse 43, and He strictly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Right, and the word strictly charged, right, literally means to sternly warn someone. Okay, so Christ here, for some reason or another, He was very stern with this man and told him in verse 44, see thou say nothing to any man. Right? So the Bible already frames what Christ says here. Right? It is with a stern tone. See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And what the Lord had commanded this man to do, two things, right? First, don't tell anyone, don't say this thing to any man, right? And we'll discuss that part a little later. And the second thing that he told the man was that he was to go show himself to the priest, right? And what this is actually in accordance to what we find in the book of Leviticus, right? Specifically chapter 14. Right? And that describes for us the stages or the steps that a leper needs to take in order to be ceremonially cleansed. Right? In other words, whereby he can now approach God's people again, whereby he can now approach God again, right? Because as a leper, you cannot even go into the temple, right, to worship the Lord. And so the Lord told this man to go and do the things that has already been revealed to him in the Old Testament. Right? You go and show yourself to the priest will check whether your leprosy is really gone, and now you have to offer up the sacrifices for cleansing, right, to be ceremonially cleansed. And so what we learn from this verse here is that what the Lord had commanded this man to do was actually already revealed to him in the Old Testament. And likewise for us, what the Bible has already revealed to us, or what the Lord desires for us to obey, is already revealed to us in His Word. So in other words, we have no excuse. This is what the Lord desires for us to do. And if we truly want to seek Him, we know that we need Him, we know that He is a compassionate Savior, and we want to please Him now, then we must obey Him. Right? We must fulfill what His Word has said. And all this, here the Bible says, for a testimony unto them, right? It is to show to the Jews that now he is clean. Right? Yes, he is inwardly cleansed, right? He is cleansed physically from his leprosy. He is inwardly cleansed from his sins. Right, but now, as a testimony to others, he has to offer up that sacrifice to show to others, right, that now I can approach God's presence. Right? I can be now brought back together in fellowship with God's people. Right? Because that is what leprosy does. Leprosy separates him from the fellowship with God and with God's people. Right? And so this is what the Lord had commanded this man to do. And so, just as an additional note, right, we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Right? He wasn't there to go against the Mosaic law, right? But he even commanded the man to obey what the law had stipulated. And so this was what was commanded to the man. But did this man obey Christ? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And so we see here this man being so thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for him. But he went throughout the city to tell everyone about what Jesus Christ has done. Now, question, did this man obey the Lord Jesus Christ or not? Was this good or bad? Who thinks it is very good? You see his heart. He went out in love for the Lord, thanksgiving for the Lord. He went out to publish it to everyone. Who says it's good, it's very good? Who says it's not good, it's disobedience? Who says, I don't know? Okay, that means the rest, no answer. I don't know what is your answer. Okay, but, well, we have to see, right? Because in our minds, we will think that actually for this man to go to the city and publish it abroad, actually is very good, right? More people will know about Christ. And not only that, right? It shows off his heart, his thankful heart to the Lord for what he has done for him. Right? And alongside that, isn't that what the Lord tells us to do? To go out and to evangelize, to share the gospel, to share about what change the Lord has done in our lives? Well, but that is where we must ground ourselves back to what the Lord has said. Because the Bible here says very specifically, and remember, the Lord said it with a very stern tone. And of course, the Lord already knew what the man would do, right? And maybe perhaps that's why the Lord was extra stern with him. He says, see thou say nothing to any man. And for this man, he should have obeyed the Lord. And that is why in verse 45, the Bible says, but he went out. It was in direct contradiction to what the Lord Jesus Christ had said. And note here how the biblical writer explains this scene. Right? He says that he began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. Right? So two words to describe how extensive his publishing of the matter was. Right? He proclaimed it, published it, and then on the other hand, he blazed it abroad. Right? He really spread this news. But that was in direct opposition to what the Lord Jesus Christ had commanded. And you may think to yourself, hey, actually this doesn't really make sense. Right? Why? Why isn't it good for this man to publish it abroad? Well, we do not know. Right? Yes, we can speculate. We can say that, you know, maybe it's because, right, for this time, the Lord wanted to lay low, right, because the time of his departure is not yet. Right? He doesn't want the news of him to be spread abroad so fast, so much so that the Jews will now want to kill him prematurely, right, before the time. And so you can say that that perhaps is one of the reasons. We do not know. Right? But you see, because of what this man did, do you know what was the result? The Lord here, or the Bible here tells us that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. In other words, all the people in the city that Jesus would have been able to minister to were now shut out because of what this man did. Right, so we think that, you know, it's very good. And that is where we must always be very mindful of our thoughts and our opinions when it's pitched against what God's word says. Because oftentimes, we can think that we are right. Or we can think that doing something in a certain way is very good, or even the best. But we may have an opinion that if we do this way, it is the best. And therefore, we disregard everything else. Right, we disregard the opinions of others, and we even disregard what the Bible actually says is good. And don't think that just because you think that it is good, therefore it is obedience. Right? Here it's very clear. Right? The Lord says, don't do it, and he went on to do it. He may even have thought that it was a good thing that he was doing, but the Lord simply says that it is disobedience. Right? Very clear. And so we must be very mindful of our own selves. Right? Always be willing to be wrong. Right? Don't think that always our opinions are the best, right? Because your opinions are always the best in your mind, right? You will never think that my opinion is the worst, right? When you think that you have that opinion, it's because you think that that is the best opinion, the best solution to whatever problem that you are facing. Right? But we must always be aware that it is not just about our opinions or our own thoughts. And sometimes we can be even, you know, blindsided, right? Like in this case, right? We think that actually it's a good thing. But actually the Lord says, no, it is not a good thing. Right? It is a bad thing. He should have obeyed. And that is the same with us. Right? We must not be quick to think that we are always right. We must know and evaluate before the Lord, what does the Lord want us to do? Right? And if that is what the Lord wants us to do, then by all means, do it in obedience as unto the Lord. So that is what we see here. If we truly seek after Christ, yes, we know our need. We now know who the Lord Jesus Christ is that we are seeking. And in accompanying that, we must also obey his word. Because now after this, the Bible says that not only he could no longer enter into the city, but he was without in the desert places, right? He had to go into hiding. And they came from him from every quarter, right? So now the people now came and sought after Christ in the desert. And so this was what we see in this account or this narrative about the leper. So we must understand that there is safety in the obedience of God's word. Right? There is no safety in the opinions of men. Right? We may think that we know better, but ultimately there is safety in obeying what God's word says, even when it doesn't make sense to us. even when we may not even know the reason why. Right, but this is what the Lord has said, and because He has said it, right, then that settles it. Right, I will do it. And that must be our heart's attitude towards seeking the Lord. Right, the heart of obedience, the heart of servanthood, right, like a slave. A slave doesn't complain to his master, right? A slave doesn't say that, oh, I think the other way is better. Right? No, a slave will just do what the master says without any rebellion, right? Without any of his own opinions. He just simply obeys what the master says. And so, do you see your need for Christ? Not just for salvation, but also for your daily life. You see your need for Christ, and you understand that Christ is a loving, compassionate Savior, Lord, that is willing to help you, willing to aid you, yes, in the way of righteousness, not to just accomplish your own desires, your own ambitions, right? But the Lord is willing to aid you to obey Him. Then now, you need to seek to obey Him. Seeking Christ is to seek to obey Him. And so, when we ask ourselves the question, are we seeking Christ? Actually, what we are asking is, are you obeying God's word? Because how we seek after Christ is simply to obey the Lord's word. And so for this leper, yes, he sought after Christ rightly at the beginning, but sadly, he ended in disobedience. Now for us, will we start rightly and end in disobedience? Or will we start rightly and also end rightly? So may the Lord help us to truly seek after Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the example of this leper that we have seen in Scripture, how he sought after the Lord Jesus Christ, and also his failure in disobeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that our life is not our own. Our life is not in our hands. Our life belongs to Thee. We pray for any here who have not yet sought Christ for salvation, Thou work in his or her heart to convict them of their sin and to turn them to the Savior. And for all of us, that You will help us, that we will continue to seek after Christ daily, in our daily quiet time, in our worship of Thee, in our obedience to Thy holy word, in our prayers unto Thee, that we will seek to please Thee in all that we do. May You be pleased to grant us Thy grace, to enable us to obey Thee. We pray that Thy will be done in each and every one of our lives. We pray and commit all these things into Thy loving hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God for the preaching of God's word. And now is the time for memory verse. And let us turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 41. Mark 1:41.